So with that, we're going to read the first two verses of Jude. We're going to continue our study through Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And so we have talked about who the author of this letter is. The author is Jude. And we see the author of our salvation. We see that it is the God in the Trinity. And he's expressing himself in the Trinity in the fact that he beloved us. He was sanctified. He has sanctified us, the Father. And we are kept in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit was the one who has called us. And then now we see the fruits of grace, the last point of our study. The fruits of grace. Jude here is pointing out again that those who are called into his kingdom, they are two things. They are sanctified. They are sanctified in God the Father. They are preserved in Jesus Christ. So there's always a continuous growing going on there. A person cannot be a believer and remain the same as he is. He's always increasing. I work with a gentleman who says he's been a Christian for 20 plus years, but his language is so filthy, I would not recommend anyone to listen to him. But there's always a continuous growing. If there's not a growing going on, then there's a problem, and it needs to be fixed. And so today's Christians, however, the term Christianity has been widely abused. Nowadays, anybody could call themselves a Christian. 80% of Americans, along with Obama, are considered to be Christians. 7% of those are true Christians. Another poll was made amongst the Christians, have discovered that only 7% are the ones who are really interested in holiness and in righteousness and in growing and in sanctification, who are involved in the church, who have some kind of a ministry going on. 7%. That's a small number. And so Christianity has been abused in the sense that it has been, the name Christians has been placed everywhere. In the beginning, the church was feared. When Sapphira and her husband, if you remember, God struck them down and fear was struck in Jerusalem. Nowadays, it's been abused. Everybody could place that title upon himself, just much like the title the Holy Spirit has been abused amongst charismatics. It's interesting to the extent that it's been abused that even if Satan himself would walk into a typical church, if he would call himself a Christian, he would probably fit well with the majority. He'd probably fit well with everyone else. They all act, walk, and talk just like him because they all seek the same exact things that he does. The average churchgoer would rather listen to psychology rather than a pastor who is soaking himself with the Word of God when he speaks the Word of God. He would rather listen to what the culture says, to what his best friend says, who is not even involved in the church. Divorce rates are just as high in the world as they are in the church. Husbands no longer love their wives and care for their wives. They refuse to love their wives and care for their wives. Wives, they refuse to submit to their husbands, and in doing so, they refuse to submit to Christ himself. Children are being raised by the culture and not God's word. The language of the world is being the language in the church. Lies are abounding in the church just as they are in the world, whether lying to the government in taxes or to the family, whether to the spouse. Lies are abounding everywhere. The works and desires of the world are creeping into this church unnoticed, it seems like, just as Jude says in verse 4. But their fruits show who they are. Their deeds reveal to us who they are. Why do I bring this up? Why am I bringing this up? To show a clear line that runs right through the church. There is a clear yellow line that shows, that splits people up. And I want us to look upon ourselves honestly and to discover who it is that we are. But the worldly Christian, they try to smother up this line to make it so obvious, to not make it so obvious They see that yellow line and they try to smother it up so that both of the worlds would collide and they would seem like nothing's wrong. It's okay to divorce. You don't love her. That's fine. Divorce that woman. Divorce that man. You don't love him? You love someone else. It's fine. And so this world, they try to smother it up, the worldly Christians, to not make it so visible. There is no line there. And so the love of Christ is the result of obedience. The truest nature of Christians, the truest nature of Christians is Christ. The love for Christ. And it is obedience to his word. In John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Chapter 15, verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." We are kept in our abiding in his love because we are obedient. And that is not of ourselves. It is not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says that the prince of the power of the air who now works in the sons of disobedience. So everyone who comes into this world is in disobedience, and that is all by the power of Satan. And those who are obedient, it's the work of Christ. Now he who works, again, in our obedience is Christ. And how were we to be obedient if disobedience runs rampant in this world? If disobedience is just everywhere in our world, sin is everywhere, it's even rampant in our church. The Lord revealed to us our sins. The Lord revealed to us our disobedience and sin. And what was the result of that? The result of us seeing our sin, he immediately revealed to us who Jesus is. He revealed to us who Jesus is, and because we see who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God incarnate, God himself incarnate. We see that he was crushed by his Father, that not even he was spared by sin. And then we see the heinousness of sin. We see how vile sin is, that no one can get away from sin. Absolutely no one, even if you are on the throne, you cannot get away from sin. And so the sinfulness of sin, Christ was not even spared. But now Christ stands in full glory making intercession for those who believe, and his righteousness becomes ours. And Satan loses his power to convict us of our sins. That is the only power that Satan has, is that as Job, he comes before God and he convicts Job. Look, he does not love you if you would not give him so and so and so. Nowadays, he comes to God and says, "Look, that man has sinned. He deserves death. He deserves to go to a hell. How come you're not doing that?" And those who are covered by Christ's blood, he cannot do that. Satan comes to the Father and says, "Look, he has sinned." The Father says, "He is covered by my Son." And so, we have received what Jude here begins in verse 2, mercy. We have received a mercy, and Jude says, multiplied to you. It is not only a one-time deal where it's given to us, it's once mercy. We are in need of mercy continually every day of our life. We weren't only given mercy in the beginning and on Judgment Day, but we are in need of mercy continuously. In Titus 3:5, we read that according to his mercy, he saved us. Not of our righteousness, nothing that we have, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And we are continually in need. And we continually fall on our knees as the tax collector Luke 18 and plead for mercy. For we are sinners. We are sinners. Have mercy upon us. While the fakes are seeking a righteousness that they cannot attain. And that clear line that distinguishes, that goes through the church, is those who fall upon their knees to rely upon Christ to make them holy, to make them righteous, and those who trying to attain this righteousness by their own standards. And that will never happen because they are the sons of disobedience, and it is something that needs to be changed in the heart, something way deep down inside. When that's changed, there's a result. The Bible says those who are in Christ are new creatures. Behold, the old has passed and the new has come. We are no longer under the old master, which is sin, but under Christ, the new master. Everything has been changed, and the outer influence, the flesh, gives evidence of that change. It's not that we do it ourselves, but it's that the Holy Spirit does it through us. And because of His mercy spilled on us, there is a peace that no one else can attain but the children of God. We have this peace in us that all the religions seek this peace. There's so many books out there. Find happiness. What is the meaning of life? For instance, when my wife gave birth to Elijah, we had a little $50 gift card. And I went to our Cedar Sinai bookstore, and there was something, why were you born, or the reason for your birth, or something like that. And it was this Buddhist who was speaking that you were born to seek happiness, to get the ultimate happiness. You're to seek this happiness. And after you die, you're going to be in the state of happiness. Everyone's looking for this happiness, this peace. They don't realize that it's only found in one place. Because they don't realize that they are an enemy of God. And so this peace is only found in Christ. Again, in John 13, chapter 16, verse 33. In me you have peace. Only in Christ do we have peace. And how many of us have this peace, that our sins are forgiven, that we can depart with ease and comfort, and that the result of this peace, that is this, the result of this peace is not of this world. The result of this peace is love. He says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. After we have this mercy, we have this unbelievable peace that is a testimony of our salvation, if you will. And then after this peace, the immediate result is love. If you remember in John 13, verse 35, it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have what? If you have love. If you have love for one another. And so we have come to love God and love our fellow brothers and sisters. That is the fruits of this grace that God has given us, this mercy, and is this peace and love. And there's got to be a sanctification going on because we are kept by Christ Himself. And so Jude here is saying that may these graces be not just given once and final and that's it, but multiplied. May these graces be multiplied. And so believers are sanctified, kept by Jesus Christ, and called. They are filled with this beautiful mercy, overwhelmed with peace, covered in love. And some say, if you hold to this teaching, that we can sin and lose our salvation. If we sin, that's it. God departs from us. We lost our salvation. We're going to hell. Just like so many people I've talked to. I wish that I would die with some kind of a disease. I would be in bed. That I could continuously pray to my God and ask for mercy and forgiveness of sins. That when I die, I'll be ready. Because if I die right away and I have sinned, I'm going to hell. And so, is that true? Here Jude says, mercy will be given to you. Let it be multiplied. We sin, mercy is multiplied to us. And that is the great benefit of being a child of God, is that we are continually forgiven. Mercy is multiplied upon us because we look upon Christ. It is not something that we do. It's not something that we have such a desire to go sin and then, like James Bond 007, license to kill, you know, we have this license to go sin. Absolutely not. If you're a new creature, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. And so what does Jude tell us to do here? How are we a part of this construction of our salvation? What do we do? It is entirely a work of God. In these two verses, there is nothing spoken of what we do. It is an entire work of God that He freely gives and we freely receive, even though it costs Him more than what all of creation can ever give. So there's nothing that we can do to attain any kind of a salvation. The word sanctified, latter part of verse 1, other manuscripts actually read beloved. So God beloved us. He loved us before even the creation of the world. That's what caused him to give us this life. It's all in God, nothing in us. We cannot offer anything to God. It has all been corrupted by the fall. And I pray also that we would see the sanctification. If we don't see the sanctification growing us, let us rely upon God. Let us pray on our knees. Let us just seek this from God Himself, and He will grant it to us. That is the only place that we can find it. Not in our parents, not in our friends, only in the Word of God, relying upon God to reveal this to us. And may He bless His Word. Amen.